your wrist, holding your name down at the front desk. Silence till the morning. In from the night, they'll come and go, moving things, they'll think they know. There's static on the radio, it lives in the station. When you find the rooms up there, tracker schemes on the wall, and if it connects, produces effects. Downstairs, give them a call. Star guest, be still, moon, find your rest. Holding your name down at the front desk, we know why you wanna be here. Slow as a drop in the morning sun, seen by some, you know there's nothing done. Pool is drained, the carpet stained, you know you shouldn't do that. When you find the rooms out there, chocolate schemes on the wall, and if it connects, produces effects. Downstairs, give them a call. Fiends and Christians, a woman with a dog, a man on the run, on vacation, and then there's you.
Time show regular and favourite Steve Gunn on Sideways Through Sound, and as I mentioned at the top of that tune, I am very, very glad to say that Steve Gunn is once again here live in the 2SER studios with me. Steve Gunn, welcome to Sideways Through Sound.
Thanks for having me back.
Let's just go back in time to 2008. Not a nostalgia piece, but I sat down this morning with your first album proper, that is, and that's Sundowner, with the kind of the intention of doing a bit of a compare and contrast kind of exercise. Wow. With what's happening now and what was happening, can you believe, over 10 years ago. So I've got my own thoughts, but in what ways do you think you've developed musically or even stylistically over the last 10 years?
Well, I definitely have become a better singer, and I think that particular record, I think of as my first attempt to really even just try, and I didn't even intend for anyone to hear that recording. It was kind of one of those things. It was real, really bedroom oriented. And originally that came out on a CDR by a label from the States. And, you know, I originally released the recordings kind of on my own. And then this guy who had a basically, you know, CDR, which is such a dinosaur term these days.
I've still got a few of them, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Kicking around with the Flintstones.
Exactly. And this guy basically wanted to make a legitimate CD of that recording. So that was exciting to me. Mm. And then people, you know, I was able to share it a little wider with this actual CD. But I didn't think anything of it. I just sort of did it just almost as an exercise. But I didn't really think of it seriously until people gave me some more in-depth feedback, and it occurred to me that, oh man, like maybe I should, you know, actually try to make something, get a little more serious. So I think every time I've think about an album over the years, every next step is always me thinking a little more seriously about it.
Well, it's interesting that you said about you considering yourself a better singer now, because I remember speaking to you, I think, around the time that Way Out Weather was released.
Wow, yeah.
And
we spoke over the phone.
We did, yeah. And I remember saying to you, you know, like, was it a big step in confidence for you to come from, you know, the Sundowner recordings and the Burren Palace recordings to Way Out Weather, which was a lot more kind of vocally oriented. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of vocals, though, one of the vocal tracks on Sundowner is a cover of John Martin's Over the Hill, which is, I've got to say, sensational. But your back catalogue is it's kind of littered with covers, really. So I'll get into some details about that in a minute, but I was wondering about your early influences. So if you can cast your mind back, what was the first record that you heard that made you want to pick up an instrument?
You know, it's funny to think about this, but for me, I think it was, you know, when I was, you know, 13, 12 and 13 years old, I had an older sister who was, you know, she was into really interesting music. But for me, I remember buying like 7 inches from kind of like local punk rock kind of hardcore bands. And then when I would see them play, I realized, and I would, you know, put on these 7 inches, I realized kind of how tangible the music was and how I could actually do it. And formulaically speaking, the stuff was just so simple and laid out. And I could, you know, figure out a few chords and play along with the stuff. And that really was the first time that I was hearing things and playing along with it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, the complicated things, you know, the deeper listening kind of music happened subsequently after that.
Yeah.
And that kind of coincided with my playing, you know. And then, not to fast forward too far, but when I became about 17, 18, I started listening to more progressive kind of stuff. And also just getting a little bit older.
You know? But you know what? It's interesting because we do share quite a lot of musical interests, you know, going back years, young men as we are, of course. But, you know, it's interesting because my first love was punk and hardcore as well. And, you know, as you become more exploratory as you get older, also, though, you can sometimes listen back to those old records and kind of go, right, now I'm hearing something that I didn't really have a touchstone on before. And I'm thinking about bands like Bad Brains.
Mm.
Something I was listening to just the other day, in fact, which was, do you remember that band Void? Who did that?
I love them band.
Yeah. I mean, where they're coming from, you know, that's a kind of, it's still all under the hardcore tag. And even some of Greg Ginn's guitar playing in Black Flag, of course, you know, it's totally off the hook. There's one more thing I'd like to mention about cover versions as well. I know that you're coming from a bit of a punk rock background, because the last couple of Aquarium Drunkard sessions that you've done, and of course they are all about cover versions, is you did a cover version of Misfits' Astro Zombies, which, I've got to say, Steve, you made that your own. Like, again, astonishing. I would like to ask you about your relationship with the Smiths, and because it's quite troubled for many. And how's your relationship with them?
Well, I, you know, for me, going back again to when I was you know, 13 years old, and I mentioned my sister and how she had kind of a good influence on me as far as just me busting into her room and grabbing a few tapes. Tapes was, again, another dinosaur term.
Yeah, indeed. Although apparently they're back. The kids seem to like them these days.
That's true. But I started diving into a lot of those bands, even smaller groups as well, that were from England and that were around in the 80s. A lot of the Rough Trade bands and other bands as well. But the Smiths particularly stuck out to me. And I think now thinking back on it, you know, Johnny Marr's arrangements and his guitar playing. And also, I'm not, you know, I know Morrissey is a pretty troubled soul at this point, but back then, I think there's a certain sense of poetic lyricism to his music and references to literature and just kind of tapping into that, the longing sadness of just being, I think was resonated with me. And his way of telling a story, but not particularly being overly confessional or overly personal, but also being critical of society and somewhat, you know, somewhat political.
And himself as well. Yeah. He's a very self-deprecating young man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what he's like now, but...
Yeah, and I just think that more so it was Johnny Marr's,
yeah,
the guitar playing.
Incredible. Know? Absolutely.
His arrangements were, for me, it was up there with the Beatles, you know, when I was discovering the Beatles and kind of diving into those albums as well.
Mm.
That's a whole different discussion, but yes, at the same time, that the, all those kind of, those two bands kind of ran a parallel kind of like relationship with me, you know.
All right then, Steve, so let's maybe have you pick up your guitar now, because I know you've very kindly agreed to play a couple of songs for us. And we've been talking a lot about other people's music. We'll talk a little bit more about yours later, but I do believe that you maybe have a cover lined up for us. So would you like to do a bit of an introduction for us?
Sure. Let me just tune this thing real quick.
Just while you're doing that, I'll just very quietly say you are indeed tuned into 2SER on 107.3 on Sideways Through Sound. I am live in session once again with Steve Gunn. He's going to play us something rather special, I do believe.
Yeah, this is a song that I, you know, that I've been playing probably the past 5-6 months, and it's a Michael Chapman song, and it's a song, it's one of my favorites of his, and it's from an album called Window, which I think was made in probably 73, 74.
Yeah. Wow.
Michael really complains about this record because apparently it was recorded and not really mixed properly. And then Harvest, the label, I think, and this is his third album with them, they kind of snatched it from him and did a quick, dirty mix of it and just released it.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those classic kind of 70s stories where a lot of these artists sign these contracts and they're young and, you know, somewhat inebriated, and there's this pool of all these artists and there's all these studios, and it just seemed like a kind of interesting, confusing time. Meanwhile, all this amazing music was being made. Anyway.
We will. Do you know what? We'll talk about Michael in the next lot of our chat. But for now, yes, indeed. Steve Gunn, live in session with Michael Chapman's...
It's called Among Trees.
Among the trees I have laid, past my golden days, among the trees I have spent summers in a haze of lazy afternoons, watching all the rain as it patterns the veranda, then disappears again. Ah, gone the sun. How I wish to return to the summers once again. How I long to sit in the presence of a friend, making music or just listening to the birds so far from sight, as we're watching the dark shades of evening turn to night. I've gone the sun. Among the trees I have laid, past my golden days, among the trees I have spent summers in a haze of lazy afternoons, watching all the rain as it patterns the veranda and disappears again. I've gone the sun.
Oh, cool, thanks. Thank you.
Steve Gorn live in session right here on Sideways Through Sound on 2SER 107.3 with a cover of the Michael Chapman tune Among the Trees. If you have just joined me, welcome to the programme. Yes, Steve Gorn is live in the studio with me once again. Now, Steve, you've made a couple of records for the wonderful three-lobed label, Burren Palace, I mentioned before. And on that record, actually, there's a cover of J.J. Cale's Crying Eyes. Hmm. And then another release on the three-lobed label was the Golden Gun record, which I think is an absolute jewel in that label's crown. So can you just tell us a little bit about the Golden Gun project and, you know, how you came to work with Mike Taylor?
Sure. I think, well, it's funny because that record was made for Record Store Day.
Oh, yeah.
I think it wasn't a serious endeavor at all. And we just traded files and had this kind of funny concept.
Is that right? Because Dickie Silk has started following me on Instagram. I don't even know who that is.
I don't know who that is either, actually. I think it's maybe, I'm not sure, to be honest. I think it's hilarious.
He's become real.
Yeah.
Which is creepy.
Yeah, maybe he does exist.
Art mimics life, or whichever way it is. I don't know if you know this, actually, but Mike Taylor and his Golden Messenger is actually coming to Australia for the first time.
I saw that.
Yeah, next year, which is great.
Super cool.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be sitting where you are in a couple of months, which will be very nice. Yeah. William Tyler's on his way as well, actually.
I know.
Yeah. All the gang are here.
It's funny.
In your back catalogue, Steve, a lot of the recordings are actually collaborations. I mean, there's a lot of solo Steve Gunn records or Steve Gunn titled records, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But often the collaborations with people like Mike Gangloff, for example, they're sonically kind of a world apart from what you might get with a Steve Gunn release. Mm-hmm. So what's the deciding factor? I mean, I was thinking Black Twig Pickers as well, for example. Mm-hmm. What's the deciding factor for you for when you decide to work with somebody or another bunch of players?
Well, you know, when you mention someone like Mike Gangloff, I think for me, he's an important friend and important source of kind of knowledge about music. Particularly, he's so deeply knowledgeable about Appalachian music and old time music, and he's into the more kind of darker corners of that style, which I really am interested in learning more about and have been. Not only that, he's also an amazing musician, and he's also really he's really into improvising. You know, he's got this group called Pelt.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, he and Jack Rose were two people who I really looked up to musically. And they are sort of pulling and tapping from these different sorts of folk traditions, whether it's avant-garde, classical, or just, you know, country blues. And when I met those guys, they were in the band Pelt, and, you know, Mike continues Pelt, but also has Black Twig Pickers. And I think he and I kind of came up with this idea to just do a completely loose improvised record where we were kind of banking our own looseness within those two contexts. And I went down to Virginia, and we basically just spent a day in a house playing. It was really open and free, and there was never any question about what we were doing. And for me, I really enjoyed the experience, and I also like that album.
Yeah, me too. I think it's great.
Yeah,
I think it does have a looseness about it, but I don't know. It's not difficult.
Yeah,
it's just you, but it's not background music either.
Right. It's like there's a depth to it that we didn't. You know, it wasn't like we were really trying too hard. It felt really natural.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Jack Rose as well, because obviously he's been a massive figure, not only to yourself but to a lot of the other players who get regular airtime on Sideways Through Sound. His music is still back when he was releasing records, it was still very much a cornerstone to everything Sideways Through Sound was trying to promote. And you know, his influence resonates strongly, and in fact on this week's show you are in fact sharing the spotlight with a brand new compilation in honor of Jack Rose's passing, put together by Buck Curran from Arborea on his label Obsolete. So let's just go back to collaborations. One of the most compelling collaborations for me is the work that you've done with Michael Chapman, and you covered one of his songs earlier. He's an absolute legend, isn't he? The guy. He's really been around the traps, and you've worked very closely with him, I know. So what was it like working with someone like Michael Chapman?
It was really, really exciting. I got to know him first being on the road and traveling to gigs and playing gigs together. And just hanging out with him was always fun. He's such a great storyteller, and he loves like, you know, just like hanging around and staying up late and telling stories and just hanging.
Yeah.
And for me, that was always my favorite times with him. And working, you know, eventually over the years, we started making music together, where I kind of just wanted to help him, you know, make his songs. And the first session we ever did was he came to the States and we worked up at Black Dirt Studio, and Jason, the owner, was very generous and put us all up, and we as my band and that community, we were just wanting to get behind Michael and help him. And I think that was the first experience, and then after that just kind of kept trying to kind of figure out ways to help him and you know, get behind what he was doing, because I think at that time we also kind of understood and were just really influenced by it. And I think he was also gaining a certain sense of kind of projection and enjoyment out of it at the same time.
Well, is it, you know, there's no doubt over the last few years he's enjoyed something of a for want of a better word, a comeback, you know. And you know, rightfully so as well. He's a great player.
Yeah.
Speaking of great players, Jason, who runs Black Dirt, is a pretty main guitar player in his own right as well.
Yeah.
Somehow I stumbled across a CDR release something. I don't know, even know where it came from, but I'm like, I was looking at the cover going, I know this name. What's this? Anyway, stuck it on.
Yeah.
Sensational. Speaking of other great guitarists, Riley Walker, who I think is here next week or the week after again, in fact, every time I see a picture of Riley Walker on Instagram, I keep thinking it's Michael Chapman. Those two kind of, I don't know if it's like the dress sense, but
wow, I never thought of that.
Those two have kind of morphed into like the same person. I know they've spent a lot of time on the road and probably in bars together as well. So, speaking of Riley Walker, you were recently recorded by, what's his name, Acid Jack, the New York taper guy. You did a show with Riley and with Ryan Jewell.
Yeah.
Was that like a fully improvised live thing?
Completely, yeah.
Well, how did that come about?
Were
you just all happened to be in town at the same time something?
Yeah, I mean, Riley is now in New York, and Riley was doing a kind of a residency at this club called Union Pool.
Yeah.
And basically Union Pool is kind of, at this point, sort of friends and family, kind of the place that's where we do tons of gigs, kind of music community hub, I'd say. And we've all done residencies there and played there hundreds of times and hang out there quite a bit. So Riley just texted me and I showed up with my guitar.
Excellent.
It was just kind of,
hey Steve, what are you doing?
Yeah, kind of just like that, you know.
Yeah.
I know Ryan, and I respect Ryan as a musician and a drummer. I've known him for a long time, and yeah, we just went at it. I just jumped up there and that was it.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet. I just downloaded it the other day. Okay. And I'm like, I'll get into that eventually. Yeah.
It's cool. It's really cool.
Speaking of, it's been pressed on record as well.
Yeah, Riley did like a bootleg.
Oh,
style
is it Riley who's
release.
Done it? Yeah, yeah, okay. Speaking of drummers, and I was going to avoid this because, like, Ryan is a great drummer. But now we've sort of touched on improvisation and, you know, just getting up and getting amongst it. There's a drummer that you've worked with over the years, and you've released two albums with him on Three Lobed Records. His first name's John.
Trzynski.
Trzynski.
Yeah.
That's why I avoided it, because every time I try and say it, and both of those albums have been in the spotlight on the program, and I think I say his surname different every time I say it.
Yeah.
Now, he is a hell of a player, right?
He is, yeah.
Goodness me. Now, those records, do they have kind of a foundation when you guys get together, or do you just get in and start jamming and hit record and see what happens?
I think it's a combination of both. You know, we've been playing together for a long time, really long time, and we found a friendship in a certain way of playing together a long time ago, my earlier days in New York, where there was a lot of kind of noise bands, left for lack of a better word. No disrespect to any noise bands out there in the world, but for me, I wasn't finding any kind of satisfaction with what I was doing, which was okay. I was exploring and plugging into a lot of effects and making sounds and getting into all that stuff. But as a player, I really wanted to start woodshedding and, you know, locking the door of my studio and getting better. Mm-hmm. And John was someone where he is a listener, first and foremost as a listener, but secondly, just as a, someone who wanted to play and practice and get better. We bonded in that way, and we just started playing a ton. And for me, that really bridged the gap into me writing songs and singing, and but just also playing rhythmically with someone and creating a kind of sort of a way of kind of coexisting as a pair, mm-hmm. as a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that listening to certain bands or even jazz musicians, you know, or yeah, people who play together a long time, there's a certain way that they relate to each other.
Yeah.
And I feel that's a special friendship that I have with John. And it's still continuing. We're working on a new record.
Great.
Now.
Great.
And, you know, he's played on tons of my solo records, and he's really invested he was very invested in those records and that kind of stuff.
So let's talk about, you know, other players on your records then. Because back to improvisation, when you play, as you have been doing on this tour, primarily it's just you on the stage.
Yeah.
How much sort of improvisation, or how much filling in the gaps, or how much kind of adjustment do you need to bring to your songs when you don't have other players with you?
Yeah, it's pretty freeing. I mean, you know, we're talking about songs here, so I'm singing my own songs, so there's definitely structures, but without a band, there's nothing I can not do, I guess. Is I mean, I don't, you know, take the bottom out and detune all my strings or anything crazy like that, but it depends on how I'm feeling with the audience and, you know, where I want to take certain songs. But yeah, it's very open-ended. I can kind of do whatever I want, as far as, you know, being in the confines of playing an acoustic with effects.
Yeah. Yeah. But when I saw you playing at the Basement last time you were here in Australia, I was kind of, you know, I'd love to see you playing with the full band, but yeah. It was really great to hear songs that I know and love being kind of twisted around or extended, or there was a couple of moments there where you were just going for it, and I'm like, yeah. Ooh, well, that's good, you know, expecting that. Yeah,
right. I tend to push it pretty far sometimes, like even with the acoustic. Yeah.
All right, Steve, well, look, it's been an absolute pleasure having you back here.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's always a pleasure, mate. You're welcome anytime.
Okay.
Look, I believe one more song before we say goodbye. So what would you like to play out with?
I will play a song called New Familiar off my last one.
Fantastic. You're tuned in to Sideways Through Sound on 2SER 107.3. I am the Sonic Assassin, live in session with Steve Gunn, playing us out with New Familiar. Thank you.
Through the cities walking, there's a skeptical protector, and laughter in the station from the real forgery. The tune was such a loud sound, you know there's nothing like the past. Gonna set you up for nothing, just to see how long you last. Unravel me with humor, suspend me in the air, it's not there. Give it back. Laughing when we fall, there's no air anymore, new familiar. So you can see it. Give up the open space. Sacrifice your days sitting around reading the news in the sun. Reduced to a pile. Find yourself leaving again. Always a different world. Unravel me with humor, suspend me in the air. It's not there, give it back. Laughing when we fall.